by Fleetwood Mac. And they should do, because they're from Fleetwood Mac, of course. There we are. 16 minutes past 10 o'clock here on your favourite radio station, Exmouth Air. We're on FM, of course. 106.4 is where you'll find us, or, of course, on the internet all around the world. So there. Let's talk to our first guest of the morning, Rachel Feeney-Williams, not only the writer, but also the director of the Exton Drama Club. Good morning to you, Rachel. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. I know we've had people in from the organisation before, but can we quick recap a little bit about the history of the organisation then and how it got formed in the first place?
Well, Exton Drama Club was formed many moons ago as a result of a fire at the church in Exton, and they wanted to raise some money to restore the church after the fire, and it kind of went on from there, really. So they pulled together as a community, put these shows on, the church was restored, and then the society became a group in its own right, and it's gone on from there, leaps and bounds, really.
So it's like a committee got together sort of and said, right, we need to do something here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Exton is a very small community. If you don't know the area, it's a little village between Topsham and Limpston. It's an absolutely lovely place. And as a village, it's full of wonderful and lovely people who do so much for the village itself, and the drama club is a big part of that.
How many members have you got on the team, then?
Oh, I mean, our membership is growing, well, month by month, year by year. We get so many new people coming in with every new production that we do. But it's not, people look at a drama club and they think the membership is just the people that appear on stage. But that's not the case at all. You've got people doing props, costumes, refreshments, selling tickets. So you put all of those people together, you're looking at 40, 50 people across the board.
And what sort of stuff do you put on?
We do a production in the spring, which is normally a two-act play. The most recent one we did was called Proof of the Poison. That was back in March of this year. Then we have done a couple of murder mysteries as part of the Exton Village Fate in June. We didn't do one this year, unfortunately, but we have done a couple in the past. And then either we do a small production in October and then either a variety show or a review at Christmas, or we don't do anything in October and we do a pantomime. But biannually.
You're talking roughly three or four different things going on per year.
Yeah, we do keep ourselves busy.
Now, you talked to me about panto.
Yes.
Is that something that happens every year?
No, panto is every other year. Because of the size of the production and the actual amount that is involved, it's not something that's can feasibly be done every year, because we get a lot of children involved as well, and obviously there are a lot of late nights, and you don't want to be doing that year on year, because it does take a lot out of the grown-ups, so I can't imagine how much it takes out of the children as well.
So who decides what you're going to put on then? Do you all sit round a table and say, oh well, I think we should do this, and somebody else says, well, I think we should do that?
Well, kind of. We have what's called our production committee, which is three or four members of a society. We go away as individuals, find plays either online or through the library that we think would work at Exton. So plays that would suit the stage that they've got, plays that would suit the cast that they can provide. And then we get together as a group and discuss the plays we found. And then between us, we agree that way. We also host play reading evenings, which we did last week, in fact. And we read through two plays that we are considering for the spring of next year and got some feedback, and then we'll move forward from there probably towards the end of the autumn winter time.
Do you try and mix things around? Do you have like serious things one time and then something a bit more light-hearted to balance it out the time after? Does it work like that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of do things that bring the audiences in, so the more an audience have heard of something, the more popular it's likely to be. But yeah, we do try to change things up a little bit. One of the plays we actually read the evening last week was Yes, Prime Minister. So that was very interesting and slightly unusual. So that may be one for consideration, but we're currently watching the space, see how it goes.
Now, you mentioned about volunteers getting involved in the organisation, not sort of up front, in-house, but sort of behind the scenes as well.
Yeah.
And presumably you need, these people are very important, particularly behind the scenes, otherwise there's no play, is there?
Yes, I mean, we have people volunteering to do lights, sounds, I said earlier, costumes and props, and without those people you haven't really got a production. I mean, everyone who takes part in a show will always help each other out. So it's not just a case of I'm on stage, that's it, that's all I do. We all help each other. But unless you have someone, I mean, in the wings prompting or being able to help out with costumes, it's very difficult to kind of pull a show together.
I always ask the same question. Anybody who comes in to talk about drama, I would imagine the most important person there behind the scenes is the prompter.
Yes, the prompt is...
Because they have to be on the ball, don't they?
Yeah.
They can't drop off or anything.
No. I have actually done one production in my entire life where we didn't actually have a prompt. It was only a one act, so it was quite short, and there was only two of us. But it was one of the most nerve-wracking productions I've ever had, because you know there's no one there. The life raft is gone.
Oh, the adrenaline's going.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me how you got involved in all of this. Have you always been interested in plays and acting and that sort of thing from a youngster?
Not necessarily from a youngster. I came more into it when I was at university, and then I came back to Devon back in 2010. And since then I've worked with The Blackmoor in Exmouth, I've worked with Bloody Solston, I've worked in Exeter itself, and Exton for me has become the main society that I love to work with, because they're just such a great group of people, and you always feel part of something whenever, no matter how involved you are in a production, you always feel like you're an important part of that piece in general.
When you first got involved in a drama club, what did you do? Did you start writing? Did you start directing? Or did you do some acting?
I started on the stage at Exmouth, acting in their pantomime of that year. The writing side didn't really come into play until a couple of years later. But since then, I've directed, I've acted, I've written for various companies, so I kind of do a little bit of everything. My main role with Exton, in addition to that, is I'm their, the title is social media officer, but basically I run their website and their Facebook page.
So that's another string to your bow. Apart from being writer and director, you do social media as well.
Yes, it's interesting, because you get to meet so many new people that way, because you pull people in from all over that would never have really known about Exton had they not been in that kind of domain of social media, because it's such a big part of our lives now anyway.
So you started acting. Tell me the process involved when you got to actually doing some writing. Did somebody say, oh, could you do this? Or did you suddenly decide off your own bat that you wanted to do some writing?
The first play that I wrote, I self-produced in Exeter, and that was more a case of an idea came to me and I thought, well, how can I get this produced? Where can I produce it? And I took it to the From Devon With Love Festival at the former Bikeshead Theatre. Since then, I've continued writing because I've always loved to write. And then societies have come to see stuff at Exton, or I've run into people who are working for societies and they've asked me if I've got anything that they could either take to Exmouth One at Play Festival or something they can do on a smaller scale. And Broadclist have had two of my plays in that manner. Basically, they've come to me and gone, what have you got that we can produce? So it's quite flattering, actually, as well, especially when you've got societies coming to you for productions.
It is, yeah. Give us an idea of some of the things you've done in the past, as far as the Exton Drama Club's concerned.
As an actress, I've done many, many productions with them. As a writer, last year in the spring, we were supposed to be doing Abigail's Party, but then 2 months into rehearsals, we lost the licence, which meant we couldn't produce the play. And we had a phone call on the Wednesday to say we'd lost the licence and that we were going to meet again the following Tuesday, I believe it was, to figure out what we were going to do. And after that phone call, I thought, well, to say, let's try and write something for them. And the whole, that particular production was actually written in 5 days and rehearsed in 5 weeks. So that was a big, very, how should you say it, enthusiastic response.
Yes, yes. You mentioned something interesting there about licensing, because people might not understand or know that you can't just go ahead and organise a play and put it on. You have got to have a licence. And is it a long, drawn-out process to get that done?
No, normally if you contact a production company, for example, Samuel French, you will say, we would like to produce this play, and they will either come back to you and say, yes, that's fine, or no, you can't have the license. With Abigail's Party, for example, it was its 40th anniversary that year, so it was currently in the middle of a national tour, and the touring company that were doing it had bought exclusive rights, which means it couldn't be put on anywhere else while that tour was running. Normally it's a fairly painless process because there's not the exclusive rights are something very rare, so normally you can get the rights fairly quickly and swiftly.
And you have to pay for the privilege of putting a certain play on.
There are certain exceptions, for example, where the author has been dead, I believe it's over 75 years, so stuff like William Shakespeare is fine because obviously the author has been dead for an exceptional period of time. There are exceptions to that rule as well, so for example, Peter Pan, while J.M. Barrie has been deceased for many years, the licensing for Peter Pan goes to the Great Ormond Street Hospital because that was his charity. So it can be complicated, but normally it's just a case of we want to do this play and the production company will come back to you and say, yeah, that's fine, or no, it's not for this reason.
You mentioned the Royal Shakespeare Company. You may or may not know, because of a little bit of research on this, that you started at the same time as the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh,
so
wow.
So how about that?
Yeah, no, I did not know that.
Well, there you are, you see. We've talked about volunteers, very important, and we'll come to how people can get involved in a moment or two. Mm-hmm. But you can't do all this unless you've got the money to do it. How are you funded?
Exon as a society are fairly self-funded. The productions they've done over the years have kept them very much in the black. Pantomime is obviously one of the big ones. It makes an awful lot of money when they're on. And then it's just a case of, I say keeping costs down, but even then, they're still very much independent. It's not a case of, we're not really sponsored by businesses, but we do a lot of work with the Puffing Billy, which is the pub in Exton, and when we've done murder mysteries, they've provided meals and stuff like that. So as I said before, it's a very much a community thing. So between our members, our long-standing audiences, and the relationships we've got within the village, Exton Drama Club stands independent on its own, really.
So when you put on these plays, how many can you actually seat when it's full?
Normally, when it's just rows of chairs, which is a standard for a performance, it's about 60. For our next production, it will actually be tables and chairs because we're providing nibbles, cheese and wine as part of the evening.
Well, that sounds all very nice.
Yes.
It's an addition, doesn't it?
So that will only be a 45 seat per evening.
Now, I think you are looking for people, aren't you? Because you've got something coming up, is it this week?
Next Tuesday, the 7th of August.
Right. Explain a bit more about that.
Our next production on the 11th, 12th and 13th of October is a one-act play that I have written called Setting Places. The cast is two men and two women, and we are very much looking for people to come along and have a read. Even if they're not 100% sure they want to be on the stage, it's always nice to meet new people, see new faces. Or if you'd like to get involved backstage, by all means, come along. It's next Tuesday, the 7th of August, 7:30 in Exton Village Hall. If you've got any questions or you'd like to know further, we're on Facebook under Exon Drama Club. We also have our own website, which is just exondramaclub.co.uk. So by all means, come along.
Which you're in charge of.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I hasten to add. So basically, people can come along the laid-back evening whereby they can talk to you. And if they want to do something backstage, that's fine, or front of stage.
Yeah, no, by all means.
Wonderful stuff. So explain a bit more about this next play that you've got coming up then.
As I said, it's called Setting Places. It's a one-act play, so it's about 45 minutes to an hour long. It's about a couple that are hosting a dinner party. It's the two other people are meant to be the husband's work colleague and the wife's sister. And then the husband turns around on the day itself and says, oh, by the way, my colleague can't make it, which imagine is, well, you've been planning a dinner party for months, is very helpful. And then further announces that to fill the numbers, he is accidentally invited the sister's ex-husband, who she can't stand to be in the same room with. So rather than explain all of this or cancel, they try to get the sister a little bit sloshed so she won't notice and disguise the ex-husband as the interior decorator. And then just chaos ensues from there, really.
Well, it sounds so, and it sounds like you're going to be in for a good run on that.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's had a lot of positive feedback. Everyone who I've just described the plot to has already started laughing, so hopefully we will get quite a few people in and it will be a very enjoyable evening.
So when that's all over then, what happens to you then? Do you sit down and try and write something for the next production?
No, I do keep writing, but not necessarily for the next production. I've got a couple of pieces that are part the way through finishing that I'm looking to hopefully bring back to Exton, not next year but the year after, which will be because next year will be a panto year, so there won't be anything in the autumn. It's not guaranteed. It's one of those things that sometimes it happens and sometimes it may be bought by somebody else. But the fact is that it will never stop me from writing, because when you're that passionate about something, you just can't really put down a pen, really.
So when this next production coming up is all over then, mm-hmm. is there a little bit of a gap before you start again with the next one?
No. But I actually am going away from Exton for the winter and going over to Budleigh Salterton for their December production of Hound of the Baskervilles.
So you're flitting all over the
place.
Yeah,
I am.
Which I suppose can be a good thing, you know, because you get to see what other people are doing and how different, and you can maybe swap notes and things like that.
Exactly, and it's all. I do love a good Sherlock Holmes as well, so the production itself kind of drew me a little bit.
Okay, just remind us again, mm-hmm. if people want to come along this weekend, yeah. and just get a taste of what they might get involved in, whether it's behind the scenes or in front.
If you'd like to come along and just either listen to the read-through, or you'd like to volunteer backstage, or you'd like to come and read a part and audition for us, again, it's Exton Village Hall, 7:30, Tuesday the 7th of August. If you can't make that Tuesday but you still want to be involved, please let us know, because as I said before, you can't really put on a production without the help of people around you. And the more people we can have around us, the better.
Well, good luck, because I think a small place like Exton, it's great that you can get the community involved. And the amount of people that you were telling me can get involved and do get involved for the fact that it's a very small place is fantastic, I think. Well done to you.
Thank you very much.
Listen, all the very best to you. And people, obviously, as you said, can get as in charge of social media. They can go to Facebook.
Yep.
They can go to the website and get all the information that they need.
Yep.
Wonderful stuff. Listen, Rachel, thank you so much for coming in this morning and talking to us about this. Good luck for people. Hopefully there'll be a lot of people come along and want to take part. Mm-hmm. And good luck for the next play, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, the lady who's not only a writer but a director of the next proceedings at the Exton Drama Club, that's Rachel Feeney-Williams.